It's 9:30 on a holiday Monday morning. Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I don't have an apron on.
What? It's getting to be a thing.
I know. It's like, I remember when my dad retired, I asked him what he was going to do, and he's like, just slip quietly into dementia. And I'm just like, well, I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Woohoo! Well, my name is Linda. My name is Linda. My name is Linda.
It's good to have a plan, I say.
I know. That's what I told him. It's good to have goals, Dad. See, we think alike. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How about you? We went through the ice and snow.
I know. It was pretty exciting for me. I did something that I haven't done in decades. I made a big batch of soup, and I stuck the pot outside in a pile of snow to cool off fast. It was just like being back in Minnesota, you know, where the world is your walk-in freezer.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my gosh. I spent one winter in Montana.
Oh, yeah?
It was plenty cold.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found was very useful during being snowed and iced in, even though it was only for about 24 hours, was that it's a really good pantry cleaner outer. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, you did that.
Well, I mean, that I'm not going to the store.
Okay, well, that's true.
I'm not getting in the car, not walking anywhere outside. So I just, you know, did what I had to work with, and that's a good thing.
That's so funny because I'm just the opposite. There was like a big noise in the pantry this week, and I just ignored it. I didn't even go up to see what it was. And a couple hours later, Dale's like, what's this box of stuff all over the floor?
Oh my gosh.
I'm like in pantry ignoring mode. I'm like on the exact like opposite on the spectrum.
What box, honey? What was that box of stuff all over the floor?
Just a whole bunch of... containers I'd ordered, you know, and I hadn't unpacked it, but I knew what it all was, and I just stuck the box in there. But I balanced it precariously on something, and that was stupid.
Oh, my gosh. Pantries. They're fabulous, though, even when they're, you know, full of surprises you haven't seen for several years, like my freezer used to be, although I think I've said many times over the months that I was working on dealing with my freezer, and I've done a pretty consistent job of getting stuff out of there.
You've got it all cleaned up.
I have space.
Yeah.
I have space available. I should not say that to you.
No, God, no. Well, and somebody said to me, yesterday or the day before, well, I should go home because I have to finish cleaning my basement. Finish? Finish? That lucky person. I've got like a level 2 hoard down there.
Speaking of which, I have more cookbooks to give away because Pledge Drive is coming up in a few weeks.
And Pledge Drive.
I'm gonna go through my ever dwindling supply of cookbooks and pull out some really nice ones to give away as thank you gifts on Food Talk because we are the first program of the Spring Pledge Drive.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it is really. But I think of all of the cookbooks that I've talked you into taking. And you've already said that you don't have any available to give away.
No, it's just an affliction. It's related to the hoard in the basement. Pretty soon I'll be peeing in jars.
Oh my God.
I watch that show Hoarders just so I have to go do something and then I'll go do something. It's like my motivation, you know.
I didn't know there was a show called Hoarders.
Oh
my God.
What you been cooking?
I've been cooking a lot of stuff. I don't know. Well, the weather, you know, so we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Last night I actually made nachos for dinner, and I have never made nachos
really?
For dinner.
Because
ever.
That's in my regular rotation.
It was
Dale loves them.
You know, Tom really enjoyed it too. I made a small you know, like sheet pan, like mm-hmm. maybe a
quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he ate the whole thing. Yeah. I mean, he liked it. It's just a deconstructed taco, really, right?
Yeah.
But it was fun because it's all prep and hardly any cooking. You stick a pan in the oven. So, and prep is my favorite part. So it was fun. And I thought, well, okay, that only took, you know, like 7.5 decades or something. So.
No, we really like that too. And then just if I have taco meat from making tacos, if I have any kind of meat that I can shred, if I have chili, even just anything that we can put on them.
Yeah.
That's something that I really like. I bought, speaking of prep, that's my segue. I bought one of those onion choppers.
Oh, yeah. They're the really, box.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you have to like slam it, but it works really good. I mean, it really, really cuts the prep time out. That was why I made the big old pot of soup. I'm like, I have to play with my onion smasher.
Yeah.
But yeah, it worked really good. And I have a mallet. Actually, Dale has a mallet and he lent it to me. And that made the slamming a lot easier. It's easier on the hand, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't like swing it like, you know, Paul Bunyan or anything. But it's just, it's about, I think, 7 pounds. And so you just go doink and it goes right down as opposed to like, bam, with your hand. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that thing worked really, really good. I was shocked at how good it worked. And there's all kinds of notes all over it. Do not touch the blades. And I'm like, I'm not going to touch the blades. But somehow I touched the blades and I didn't even know it. And man, that thing just sliced my finger open. But I didn't even know until after. Because I'm like,
it's
where
the beauty
is all
of a sharp
blood
knife.
Coming from? You
yeah.
Know? So
yeah.
That was really something. It is really sharp.
It's why we need to keep our knives sharp, because if you're going to cut yourself, better you do it with a sharp knife.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Then what's the German word for cleaver? Hackmesser. I just love that word. Doesn't it just sound like a dull knife? Hackmesser.
Ooh. That makes my knees feel funny.
Yeah.
The dull knife, because it's, you know, it's bruisey. Anyway, let's not linger.
Okay. What you been cooking?
Fresh salmon, delicious.
Ooh,
delicious
yum.
Salmon. Didn't do anything worthy of note. I mean, I have a really a large assortment of salmon recipes.
Okay.
And never have I ever found anything that is better than butter, lemon, garlic.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, and I'll put capers in there because I just really like them.
Yeah.
Sometimes, or dill.
Yeah, yeah. I very rarely have fresh herbs because I cannot keep them alive.
Okay.
And it's just useless to buy them at the store because they decide how much you need to have.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's never the right amount. I want to be able to just snip them, but I can't tell you how many windowsill herb plants I have killed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, killed. No, I was trying to think of a better way to put it, but no, I've killed them. I've let them die.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
For me, it's like I made a conscious decision years ago that if I want an herb, I can have an herb. And because I was doing the same thing. You know, this is $4. And if you buy a bunch, that adds up. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was doing that thing, and then everything had dried herbs in it. And so that's my conscious decision. I can have an herb if I want an herb. I can have a bunch of herbs if I want a bunch of herbs. And then I do the same thing. I don't use them all. And I try really hard to use stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But my go-to using stuff up is buttermilk dressing, just essentially ranch dressing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
that's a really good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Because I put cilantro in it. I put parsley in it. You always have those.
Yeah.
And then if you have dill, if you have thyme, if you have basil, it doesn't matter. You just put a mess of herbs in there with buttermilk. And I always have buttermilk. So
that's a really good idea. Maybe I'll give myself permission to have herbs again.
But it's just so good. Fresh herbs are just so good.
Yeah.
And especially if you're going to, you know, buy salmon, you want to do it right. You know what I mean? And everything. It's just, in my view, it just makes so many things, even spaghetti sauce, so much better.
I just we've talked about using up stuff that's looking sad in the hydro.
Well, I love your vegetable hospice.
Well, I had a ton of greens.
Okay.
And other kinds of things, leafy things. And I wanted to use them all up because some of them were overly relaxed.
Okay.
And so I had some chard, some radicchio, some bok choy. I don't know. I had a ton of stuff. Some leeks. I chopped it all up and sauteed a little bit of like side pork that has streaks of meat a lot of fat and you can use that fat to render down in a saute pan and get instead of using olive oil or something. So if you are not a meat averse, it's a really good way to make greens taste great. Onion, a little garlic, and a whole bunch of these herbs. It was good.
Nice.
Yeah. I've been having leftovers warmed up for breakfast. It's really, I don't know why I haven't done it before. Why does anything ever get thrown out?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you have to look to the bottom of the drawer occasionally.
Yes.
That's why. How deep do you
want to
dive? But
no, that sounds like it's a really good way to use up herbs.
Yeah, they were delicious. And we had them with salmon. So, yeah. What about you?
Well, do you remember I used to make a granola and I called it $50 granola?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So what it is, it's a recipe from 11 Madison Park in New York. And 11 Madison Park is one of those restaurants that's always on the top 10 best restaurants in the world type lists. And just recently, maybe 2-3 years ago, they went all vegan, which is pretty remarkable for a restaurant of their caliber, you know, 3 Michelin stars. So, but that's beside the point. They always have made this granola and they give it out as a gift at the end of your, you know, zillion-dollar meal.
Right.
And, I remember when I made it the first time, I mean, it was $50 to get, and the recipe makes like 5-6 cups, you know, it's not like a giant recipe.
Oh my gosh.
So I made it again because I just had a hankering for it. But the reason it's $50 is because there's things like pistachios and dried cherries, and you have to buy a bag of dried cherries. You
yes.
can't just buy exactly the amount you need, and you have to buy a bag of pistachios. So there's some left over. So when they sell this granola, they sell 11 Madison Park. They sell a 20-ounce jar, so that's 2.5 cups, for $39.
Ooh.
So that's a lot. You know,
yeah.
it's an expensive granola, but it's really good. It has pistachios and coconut chips. Do you know what those are?
Yeah, and I love them.
What are they?
Well, I don't know that I use the chips, but I use the, you know, the flaked coconut that's huge.
That's what I used because
yeah.
I had no idea what a coconut chip was, but I was looking at Freddy's online, yesterday and they had some coconut chips. So I think I'll get them and try them because I had no idea what they even were. I assumed that they were like, you know, like chocolate chips, white chocolate chips that were coconut flavored, but it's not that.
Yeah.
But I'll be able to see exactly what it is when I go buy some.
It's probably just chunked coconut, I bet.
Yeah.
That's dried or toasted or something.
Yeah, that's what
yeah.
I would think too.
Oh, and I could make that in my fancy new little countertop stove that also dehydrates things.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's a great feature.
Yeah, it's a great feature.
Wow, right on. Well, and then it has, you know, everything in it is expensive. Maple syrup, olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, pumpkin seeds, coconut chips, pistachio, sour cherries. I mean, really the only way.
All of those things, though, are available bulk.
Yes, yes, but they're expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Well, the sour cherries, I've never seen those bulk.
I think so.
Okay.
The only problem with...
and pistachios, I've never seen them
any
bulk.
Dried fruit uh-huh. that you would... like to have be still a little leathery or a little bit mm-hmm. give to it. If you buy it in bulk, it's very dry.
Yeah, because the raisins are yeah. way different. You get a block of raisins when you buy it in bulk as yeah. opposed to when you buy them in a bag.
Yeah.
Even though they're cheaper.
And I like having the thing I like about them is that you can have how many you want.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm not averse to throwing a couple tablespoons of raisins into a little bit of brandy for a while and rehydrating them.
Yeah, and if you're going to rehydrate them, you can buy the wizened, grizzled ones.
Yes, absolutely. If you're going to put them into your oatmeal while it cooks.
Yeah, but otherwise, it's just a lot of work. I mean, to separate them. I mean, it's a lot of work, and it's frustrating work, and so I just buy them in a bag.
It's sticky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because they just don't want to give up their partnerships. But anyway, it was really good. I think the only way you could have made that granola more expensive is if you put pine nuts in it.
Oh, my gosh.
But
yeah,
there
you go.
Yeah, it was good. So they have a couple more varieties that they don't have recipes for. One is, come on, brain. One is just, I'm not going to remember. One has apple, one has chocolate, but they don't look like they'd be as expensive to make.
Yeah.
So I might see if I can figure out how those are made.
I just don't want chocolate in my breakfast cereal.
No, no. It's
at
true.
All. Although granola is also a snack.
Yeah.
So I want to take a quick sec and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. Go there, would you? Northcoastfoodweb.org. KMUN.org. Go there. Take a minute. You'll be happy. There will be, I guarantee, fully money back guarantee that you will find something in those two websites that you didn't know and you could use.
They're great. Great websites, great organizations. So remember when you were talking about that side pork?
Yeah.
That's my segue. So I made pork loin.
Oh.
And I don't like pork loin. I think it's dry and I just don't like it. If I'm going to buy pork, I'll buy pork tenderloin.
Yeah.
I just think it's a lot more tender, a lot easier to cook. And pork loin is just so easy to wreck, you know. So anyway, you know how if I make a standing rib roast beef for like Christmas, I use Paula Deen's method. And what she does is she she takes her roast out of the refrigerator and lets it sit for an hour. And then she slathers it up with a bunch of stuff and sticks it on fat side up on a roasting pan rack in a roasting pan. And then she's got her oven all heated up and she puts it in there, I think at 375 for 1 hour. Then she turns her oven off for 3 hours, not open it, let it sit, and then turns the oven back on for about 45 minutes. I think it might be half an hour. It just depends on how done you want it, you know. So that's her method. And it is foolproof, and it turns out every time. Well, there was a method that came into my email from All Recipes, and it's called Dad's Basic Moist Pork Roast. So what it is it's essentially the same method for a pork roast.
Oh.
So, and that sounds like a lot of work for a pork roast. But what you do is you, with this one, the recipe says it's important that you just snatch it immediately from the fridge and put it in the oven.
Oh.
You can't, like, let it sit on the counter okay. and warm up at all. So it's important that it's from the fridge. You have a couple minutes, but you don't have half an hour, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so then they heat the oven up to, it's hot, 475, and they put the same thing, the pork roast, on a rack in a roasting pan. And then they roast it for, it says, about 30 minutes. And then you take the roast out of the oven rather than leaving it in the oven. And you turn the oven down to 325, so it's 150 degrees difference. And you let the roast sit there because it will climb in temperature until it gets to be, what was it?
It's sitting on the counter, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's been in the oven. And it climbs to, it says you do that for about half an hour, I think, if I remember right. And it'll go to about 80 to 110.
Okay.
And then you put it back in the 325 oven and you let it go. I think it was like 15 to 30 minutes or something like that. No, let's see. Come on, brain. Oh, you take it out of the oven. I'm reading the recipe now. And it'll be 80 to 110 degrees. And then you let it rest and it'll climb up to, in the course of half an hour, about 115 to 140 degrees. And then you put it back in the oven for 15 to 30 minutes more, depending on how high it was. And you want it to be 145 degrees.
Oh, and that's too done.
145?
Yes. Well,
no.
Yeah.
Not pork, really? Okay.
I like rare pork. I'm
okay.
Sorry. But
rare pork loin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that you could adjust it to whatever temperature you want.
I mean, it tells you right on, if you're not buying it from a butcher who's cutting it for you immediately, then you're buying it pre-wrapped.
Yeah.
And it says on the wrapping to go to like 155 or some crazy damn thing.
Okay.
But that is always too done. I'm sorry. I want it pink in the middle.
That's why it gets wrecked.
But I think that with all kinds of everything that we cook, mm-hmm. it is all of that is a dance between danger and the way that you like it to taste.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm alarmed because I'm reading all of these things right now because of avian flu and eggs and that kind of stuff. That you should cook your eggs till, you know, your scrambled eggs till they're really done. Well, I'm going to quit cooking scrambled eggs if that's what we have to do. But I don't think we have to do that here now because we have so much access to not... to eggs that don't come from massive egg factories, you know what I mean? Which is where a lot of that stuff is showing up.
Well, and eggs are coming down in price, which is great. I mean, it was killing me.
It would be if you were in business. It would be really, really hard.
Yeah.
My feeling as just a home cook is that if I have to pay $1 an egg, that's one of my favorite proteins, and that's a cheap protein still. You know, so I kept buying eggs, even though they were, you know, they were rivaling pine nuts.
Yes, they got the financing guy sitting there on a folding table and a folding chair.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, in the past, always, if I make any kind of eggs, when I'm done, the pan is still hot, and I just crack two eggs, one for each dog, you know, and that's what I've done my whole life. And so when I'm making eggs, now they look at me, and I'm like, huh. You know, are you worth it? What have you done for me? You know, just...
We're cutting your allowance. Yeah. That's it.
You're going to split an egg.
It can't be split. Oh, my gosh. Well, so it's a holiday today.
Yes.
Another shopping holiday.
Yay.
Are there any holidays left that aren't shopping holidays?
Wow.
Arbor Day.
Oh my God!
No, there are.
At the same time.
That is a shopping holiday.
Because you go to the nursery.
Well, I get a lot of junk mail about buying things for Arbor Day.
No.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I know. Where did I sign up wrong? I don't know.
Well, we were talking about something before the show started, and I kind of think it's a good idea, and that is, you know, just as we go forward in our lives, there's a lot of. People always want to talk about politics and making our meals, the meals that we cook at home, just politics-free zones. It just makes the meal so much pleasant. And I don't think it's Pollyanna sticking your head in the sand type stuff. You know, I think it's just compartmentalizing the different parts of our life. And just I think a home meal is a thing that should be guarded, you know?
Yes.
And just guarding the pleasantness of that meal,
yes.
You know?
And it doesn't even matter that maybe both of the people at the table or all of the people at the table are on the same train politically. It doesn't
yeah.
matter.
No.
The world is screwed, pardon the...
Handbasket, hell.
Yeah. And it not only can ruin your appetite, but it can, as I was saying to you earlier, I will not let... the condition of the world harsh my buzz at the breakfast table, because that particular time at the breakfast table, which I gotta say is a couple hours,
yeah.
is the best part of my day. My husband and I laugh until we're like silly. I mean, it's just entertaining and
enjoyable.
It's so
yeah.
nice.
Yeah.
It is the very best way to start the day, and I'm not going to start it by talking about current events.
Yeah, and I think I remember when I first got married, and I married into a family, you know, and I had to, in my own mind, I was doing the cooking. I had to set some rules, you know. I'm not a slave. You wait for me. You know, I'm cooking the meal. You're going to wait for me to eat it. You know, when I'm done and I got everything on the table, then you can start. You can't shovel everything and be done by the time I get there. You know, I want to enjoy it too, but I want to enjoy it. I realize that that's important to me. I make this meal and I want to enjoy it. And that means that there at this time has to be rules around conversation.
Yep. I think so. And the fewer people involved in the project, the easier that
yeah,
is.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So I think it's pretty easy at our table because we sit down twice a day for dinner and breakfast and dinner, however you want to think of that.
Do it in the right order.
Yeah, right. Chronologically speaking, but it is very easy to slip. Mm-hmm. into something that, you know, you walked into the room when I rang the little bell that goes off in his office that says there's food on the table.
Oh, you have a bell that's so dang cute.
It is a little wireless doorbell. He can set the tune. He changes the song periodically. Anyway, there, you know, you come into the situation of a meal together, and sometimes you've just heard something really alarming. Sometimes you've read something that just like makes you so sad or angry, and it's easy to kind of carry that
yes.
and have it spill over a little bit. It's a conscious effort, I think, mm-hmm. to really just dedicate that time to each other. And some laughs
yeah.
and some appreciation of whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, growing up, of course, there were rules about dinner. There's no politics, no religion. And then remember, nothing below the belt. Yeah, remember? And or below the waist or whatever they said. I can't even remember. But yeah, there just has to be rules again.
So many rules. No elbows on the table. Say please and thank you. Clean up your plate. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We...
Anyway, I was just thinking about that, and I think that that compartmentalizing is the answer, just to keep meals enjoyable, because that's really important to me.
I think it's not just a mental health thing. Also, if you are at peace or in a state of enjoyment when you eat, it's easier on your body, I'm sure.
Oh, that's a good point, to digest.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to be distracting your bodily functions with all that stress. So I don't know. That's just I'm very selfish about the time that I spend across the table from my husband. I don't want the world in there. They're not invited.
Good selfish.
We don't have enough chairs. I'm not cooking for y'all. So
what else have you been cooking?
I made Sloppy Joe's one night.
Oh, really?
One night we had crab cakes and sushi.
I
don't know.
That.
We did
high lowbrow crab cakes, Sloppy Joe's.
I know. Salmon nachos. I like to mix it up, you know.
When I make Sloppy Joe's, I put them in hamburger buns because they're just so much easier to eat.
That's what I did.
And I think I told you, I wrote some canned Sloppy Joe, and I don't use canned Sloppy Joe stuff, but I wrote some like Manwich type company, but I don't remember who it was. And I'm like, hey, you know, I do this. And then they wrote me this letter back that they don't send compensation for ideas. And I'm like, I did not ask you for money, you know. I was going to patent using, you know, hot dog buns for...
Well, you know, they're a big corporation and everything has to be filtered through an attorney.
Yeah, I guess.
We're just out here, you know, making Sloppy Joe's. Relax. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, I like that woman whose name I can't say. I bought her new cookbook, Justine Duron. It's Dioron, but she never says her own name, so you don't know how to say it. But she was talking about carrots the other day, and you know how I feel about carrots.
Yeah.
I really like smaller carrots versus big carrots, because the big carrots are super starchy and the small ones are sweet. So if you're going to grill them, the small ones are so much better. And I don't mean like little tiny ones, but just not ridiculously sized.
Yeah.
And so she says carrots are better in the winter.
Yes, absolutely. Winter carrots are sweeter.
Yeah, because they have to have sugar to protect themselves from freezing. And I never thought about that
before. It's carrot season, which we don't think of as a season because they're always there.
Well, and they're so good in the summer, you know, so it's just, but no, I didn't know that. And so I'm kind of excited about my new carrot knowledge.
I've been making carrots. I've been putting carrots in everything lately. They're a default thing. They're always there.
I think they're underrated.
Like an onion and a garlic. Yeah. I always have them.
But they're so delicious grilled, and they're so delicious like
roasted.
And just pan fried to like you burn the edges, you know, with olive oil and a lot of pepper. Just a whole bunch of black pepper.
Even just steamed with a lot of butter.
Yeah.
They're fabulous.
I accidentally left some in water and boiled them for 5 hours, and they were just fine. I'm not making that up. I was shocked. You'd think they'd turn to mush like pumpkin or something, but they didn't, you know?
It's not recommended.
No.
It's not recommended, but it works.
Made a mistake.
But who knew? Delicious side dish.
They were a little paler.
Linda Perkins, we are out of time.
No.
I know. I will see you. I think that next time I see you, it's going to be... pledge drive.
Oh, wow. That's right.
Yeah. We'll have some giveaways. Tune in.
Give us money.
First.
We love you.
First Monday in March. See you there. Yeah. Want to sing us out?
Okay. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home.